The following program may contain material that is unsuitable for some audiences. Listener discretion is advised. Aftermath Radio should not be considered a substitute for services provided by a licensed mental health professional. Good afternoon and welcome to Aftermath Radio, brought to you live from the K-Beach radio station at Cal State Long Beach.
Hey, I think you got it. Good afternoon and welcome to Aftermath Radio. Dr. Robert Shugg, Assistant Professor of Criminal Justice and Forensic Psychology here at Long Beach State Aftermath Radio, where we talk about all things psychopathic. If you would like to speak with us, is it working? I don't want to do any false advertising here, right?
It's not logging on.
Okay, I'm trying to log in here myself. Okay, speak with us possibly. If you call area code 562-912-3541, that's 562-912-3541. You can Skype us at aftermath.radio and chat with Chantel.
Chantel?
Chantel. No, I said it right. I'm not Brian.
He said Chantel.
No, we'll play the
You did.
No, we'll play the recording back. It was my accent. My Ohio accent got in the way there. You can email the show at aftermathradio@kbeach.com. And as always, we encourage you to go to the website, aftermathradio.org. Click on the link in the lower left-hand corner that says, what does it say? Is it podcast or radio?
Radio.
It says radio. I can't hear you, actually. I don't know if Chantal's mic's on. No, it's not coming through. And we have all of the podcasts there archived for your entertainment. Anytime, day or night. That's a little better. Though you do sound like a cell phone commercial.
Can you hear me now?
There we go.
Very, very good. Okay, so we, let's see. Oh, Leanne Leadham coming up at the half hour. And I'm going to talk to you about what she's going to be talking about in a minute. Now, actually, I just checked the email box, and it turns out K-Beach sent us... somebody mentioned us on Twitter. What's the deal with the Twitter?
I just did. Oh.
Somebody mentions us on Twitter, and it turns out it's Gigi who's happens to be operating the board.
Yeah, I'm trying to do more than one thing again.
What did you tweet? Where's the tweet sound effect, first of all?
Oh, okay. We want the tweet sound
Come on, you
got to
do it up. There we go. So who did you tweet?
Or I tweeted at Aftermath the Radio from K-Beach saying to tune in right now.
Nice. Okay, so that is working.
Yes.
Right. Okay, so the thing that might not be working...
is our own.
Is Skype, but I seem to be logged in on my end. Like, I think I'm getting it.
We're probably having more technical difficulties, like usual.
I don't know. I'm assuming it's okay, and I'm assuming if you call 562-912-3541, you are going to get through to us. And I'll just take it over here, then, Chantal, if it's not working over there. By the way, Chantal Fahmy did something slightly psychopathic, at bare minimum aggressive, out in the lobby today. Would you care to share that with the listening audience?
No, I'll let Gigi share.
Tell us what happened, Gigi.
Is my mic on?
One of those days.
Yeah, your mic's on.
Oh, okay. No, my water bottle fell twice as we were walking over to the studio, and she just kicked it across the room so I can go get it.
Straight kicked it across the lobby. By the way, right across the brand new furniture in the lobby, which you said I didn't notice it last week.
You didn't notice it.
It's like the kind of furniture you'd want in your home. I'm surprised they really
looks nice.
Kicked out some cash for that. Yeah.
Yeah, and then not for almost anything else.
Yeah, at least we got good lobby furniture. But in their defense, the crowd in the lobby is growing.
It has
exponentially,
been.
I think.
You think it's because of the couches or of Aftermath Radio?
I am convinced it's because of Aftermath Radio. However, that might be my own sort of delusion.
Right.
Right? It's probably because the furniture is better.
Maybe.
What do you think?
It's more conducive to the card playing.
Oh, they're listening to you right now, by the way.
No, I'm staring.
That one guy thinks you're hot, by the way.
Oh, yeah, same guy.
Okay. Anyway, a couple of things to do today. Have a little bit of email, but there was a case, and I don't know if you guys are familiar with this case. Actually, this is what Dr. Leadham's going to be talking about. This guy named Christian Carl Gerhardsreiter. Have you heard of him? Alhambra, California, which is a stone's throw from here, basically, right? German man who masqueraded as a member of the famous Rockefeller family. Can you believe that? He pretended to be one of the Rockefellers. And this guy is on trial. Now, this is dated January 23rd from the Seattle PI, which I don't normally read. You guys read the Seattle PI at all?
No.
Nope.
anyway, so he's on trial, I guess, for homicide. Cold case murder of John Sohus, age 27, who disappeared from San Marino, California in 1985. So this guy was masquerading as a member of the Rockefeller family, allegedly, I'm assuming, killed this guy a long time ago. And they're just picking up on it. This is like right in your guys' backyard. I can't believe you're not all over this.
No. Did you know about this before Dr. Lita mentioned she was going to say that?
Good question.
Full disclosure, yes, I did, actually. but she's going to come on and speak more to this case and talk about how, I guess, you know, how it relates to psychopathy and perhaps some of the psychopathic traits this guy may or may not demonstrate, and certainly her sort of connection to the case. So there's that. And we also, let's see, we have a bit of email. Where'd I put it?
Hear it.
Let's hear the intro. Well, no, it's Aftermath Radio.
You've got mail.
No, but the music before it. What did we usually pay before it? It's been so long.
That's all I thought.
Q&A, right?
Yes. Oh.
Aftermath Radio Q&A. Excellent. Okay. I just got this today, actually, and I've been back and forth with this person. So this is it's an unnamed person in an undisclosed location. It says, hi, I have just started listening to your internet site and find it very informative, as I'm interested in both criminal psychology and psychopathy. Here's the kicker. I have noticed that you do not have an online store, and I was wondering how I could purchase an Aftermath Radio t-shirt or hoodies. Regards, unnamed person. What are you waving at?
You. Didn't we not talk about this before?
What did we talk about? Is this one of those things that I said we were going to do and I never got around to doing?
Yeah.
95% of the rest of the things. I'm sassy today.
So passive-aggressive you are over there. Jeez. did we talk about this before? Yeah. Now, I know we had the...
the contest.
We had the joke contest.
Yes.
Where the listener won the joke contest and won the official Aftermath Radio t-shirt. When I said that, there's one, I think, and Dominic made it. Is Dominic out there?
Yeah.
He's usually out there making faces at us. He's not out there.
No, I don't see mine.
And I think it's akin to something like a sort of a Hanes white t-shirt with some Sharpie marker on it that says Aftermath Radio. I'm not sure, but it's probably along that caliber. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But why don't we have official Aftermath Radio gear?
I think Gigi we Bar? Should. I don't know. I think we definitely should, especially since it's a foundation. It's a good way to keep it going. And I don't know.
But we might be able to quit our day jobs and just make money selling t-shirts and coffee mugs. What sort of items would you have in our Aftermath Radio store? Chant?
A magnet.
Like a refrigerator magnet?
Yes.
Why a refrigerator magnet?
I would have papers that that are being held up by the magnet that say what time the show starts, so I don't miss it.
And all the all the things I'm supposed to do but forget to do, right?
Yeah. Along with my grocery list.
Well, I think definitely the picture of the tie, the guy in the tie,
yes,
that we have on the website. That's I'd wear that. Oh. I'd totally wear that.
Yeah.
Or even sell "Hello, my name is" stickers.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah,
that say psychopath on them.
Least.
At the very least, we could print those up ourselves.
We should think about something for ASC in Chicago.
Yes, ASC in November.
Side note. I think I'm going.
Good.
Yeah, you better be going. Why would you be going?
I think I'm going too, if the wife gives me permission. I got to get the green light from the CFO. Yeah, so to answer the question, yes, thank you for this. And this just sort of reminds me to get on the ball with talking to the folks at the foundation. Because all this stuff it's really just kind of spending a little bit of money, you know, to get the stuff done. And I'm sure we could have contests and give it away. And
it's another way to just get the name out.
Get the name out, right?
Yeah.
Would you wear an Aftermath Radio t-shirt, Gigi Bar?
I totally would.
Would you?
I don't know where to, but I totally would. Just
only
kidding.
If I had the picture of your face.
My face on the back, like a bullseye on it or something. What about an Aftermath Radio coffee cup?
I'd probably drink out of it.
Yep.
What's kind of like a psychopathic item, if there is such a thing?
That's a good question. Maybe that should
chainsaw.
Be a question.
An Aftermath Radio chainsaw. Yeah.
Maybe that's a question well. We should pose for our
yeah,
listeners.
Yeah, there you go. I'll put that out to the listeners.
What kinds of items should we?
Potential items for the Aftermath Radio store.
You should tweet that, G.
Okay.
There you go. Do we have to Facebook something, too, to keep our job here?
My internet is not in working order.
Okay. I think mine's working okay. I don't know how to Facebook
though.
No. So.
I know you don't know how to Facebook.
All right. So, yes. Gigi's giving me the wrap-up sign. Did you see that?
She didn't even give me a warning.
No, that was just like, bam.
You're not supposed to say that I'm giving you the
that's
signal.
It's just silent, right? By the way, the wrap-up sign is very similar to the crazy sign. Like, if you turn the crazy sign at a 90-degree angle, that's crazy. And if it's up in the air, it means wrap it up. Okay. Aftermath Radio, we'll be right back here on K-Beach.
Hi, my name is Bob, and I'm a psychopath.
Hi, Bob!
Bob!
Do you know what a psychopath is? Do you have one in your life? How would you know? Join Dr. Robert Shug Mondays at 4 p.m. for Aftermath Radio and get the facts about psychopathy.
We are back. Aftermath Radio. Dr. Robert Shug, Assistant Professor of Criminal Justice and Forensic Psychology here at Cal State Long Beach. If you wish to speak with us at the Aftermath Radio Command Center, as it were. There you go. 562. You like that one, huh? 562-912-3541. That's 562-912-3541. Skype us at aftermath.radio. I have mine working. Chantal does not seem to have hers working.
I don't know what's wrong.
Email us at aftermathradio@kbeach.com. And as always, check out our podcast, which, I have a call. Let me see if I can make this work. Hold on.
A Skype call?
Yeah, like seriously a Skype call.
I'm jealous.
Here we go. Hello, Aftermath Radio.
Yeah, I've got a good idea for an item.
Okay, hold on 1 second. Hold on 1 second, caller. So I'm doing this kind of ghetto style. I have one mic and I have to point it at the computer and then point it at my face. So I'm going to point it at the computer, caller, and we'll have you go. Okay, so here you go. Okay, go ahead.
My item for Aftermath Radio store is Velcro ID. They can change it and be whoever they want.
That's clever. So you had an ID with a Velcro that you can change it. Okay. All right. Any other suggestions?
Two-faced mug.
Wow, those are some really good suggestions.
That's really good. Actually, you know who had the original two-faced mug? And I'll give this to you, too, caller, if you want. Do you know who had in forensic psychology lore, who had the original two-faced coffee mug?
No.
It was Kenneth Bianchi.
Really?
Kenneth Bianchi had a coffee cup. Or no, it wasn't a coffee cup. It was a sculpture, but he had one side was a normal face, and the other side was like a monster face. But I was sort of thinking, you can make a coffee cup easy on that. But two great suggestions, caller.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, say that one more time.
I said, I love the show. Have a good one.
Thank you.
I had to get that in.
We love it. Yay, caller with items.
That was totally, by the way, I don't even know if I know how to hang this thing up.
You press end call.
The red.
Oh, it's the red phone.
Yes.
Cool. All right. Get down with my bad self. What was I doing before I was so rudely interrupted by a caller? Did I get all the information out? Just kidding. He knows. I'm kidding. All right. Very good. So we're taking more suggestions for Aftermath Radio store items. Okay. So last week, Gigi Barr and I wanted to do a new bit. Actually, I wanted to do a new bit.
I'm still very hesitant.
And Gigi's on the fence about it. Now, I like this idea for a bit because it's the least amount of work for me in terms of preparation. I could just walk in and do this bit, right? And now... You know,
most amount of pressure on Gigi Barr.
Well, I mean, she just has to. All right, we'll get to it in a second. But
I'm scared about the aftermath of this.
I see what she did there. You see how she the play on words? Very good. Very good. So the idea of, you know, how we've done fact or fiction before. By the way, can I hear the fact or fiction music just to hear it?
Let's see if it works.
All right.
Aftermath Radio, fact or fiction.
Right. Right. So originally with the show, we started off, you guys went out into the field, as it were, and would ask people if they knew what a psychopath was. Right? And we do pre-recorded material. You would bring it in to me, and I would do on-the-spot analysis.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Right? Now, that's fine, right? But let's see, we could take it up a notch, right? Really give a little bit more energy, a little more attention to the show, right? So I thought of the idea of live Fact or Fiction, where we call randomly in the Long Beach area, right?
Yes.
And we just kind of, we're putting our finger on the pulse of the public's knowledge of psychopathy. And just, you know, kind of, because that creates, it creates tension, right? Because right now you listeners are going, ooh, is he really going to do that? Is he really just going to, what amounts to, I guess, could be considered telephone harassment? just to get.
Just keep calling the same number until they get the
no,
right.
No, well, that's part of the thing. We had to call different phone numbers, all right? So we haven't tried this before. We haven't, this. It's totally unscripted. I don't know who Gigi's going to call. Right?
I don't know either.
So let's try it. Just put the phone on the air. And this might just go horribly wrong. It could end in a restraining order.
Oh, geez.
I don't hear a dial tone, though.
Are we supposed to hear the dial tone?
Yeah, do you have the line on? There we go.
I have to dial first before
oh, do
I put
you?
It on.
Oh, technology. Can you feel the suspense, the tension building?
Somewhat.
Okay.
Am I supposed to feel it more? I'm starting to feel it now.
Yeah? Is Dominic, like, saying no? So what's that, a wrong number?
That's probably not a valid number.
Oh, John Trapper, station manager, comes in with... Thank you very much. That's pretty cool.
What is that?
It's actually an email from same person that called.
Oh.
So same person sort of ensured that his idea got heard. I'm sorry, I'm going to read it again, but that's good. Email and calling is the best way to get a hold of us.
I love it. I love it.
It was Bob from Florida. Okay. Aftermath Radio Fact or Fiction Live. Here we go.
Are we trying this again?
Yeah, but just this time get us a real phone number.
Okay.
Eh?
It's not my fault. This is what happened.
Can I pick some numbers?
Yeah. But don't say them over the air because...
Okay, never mind.
This is great. Love it. I don't hear anything, G. Here we go.
OMG.
It's actually calling.
You're talking, right?
I hope it's not like the police.
That's 911.
It's not 911, is it, G?
I'm about to have a heart attack.
What if it goes to someone's voicemail? Is that rude?
Yeah, definitely cut it if it goes to a voicemail. Yeah. So have your finger on the button, G. But let's wait and see who it is first, because that might be kind of funny.
I appreciate
it.
All right, we'll make sure we edit that one out.
What if they call back?
Oh, that'd be great. See, this is how you get callers, right? We call and then they call back. Like,
callers.
Who the H is that, right? Okay, so let's try one more.
One more?
Yeah.
I'm really going to have a heart attack.
Jeez, like freaking out.
My hands are shaking.
Why? Why are you so nervous?
I'm just scared.
What are you scared is going to happen, G? Psychopaths do this all day long. They call people they don't know, ask them questions about stuff they're not supposed to, you know.
Ask questions.
Ask questions about. Very good. I think it would be even funnier if I got hung up on.
Thank you for choosing.
What was that?
Who? Who?
Oh.
we got a hold of a robot there.
Oh, that was a human.
That was a person?
Wasn't that a person?
A thank you for calling, and then, oh, I thought it was an automated thing.
No,
that's what I thought, too.
Afterwards, that voice after.
Oh, no, we just hung up on somebody?
Well.
That's so rude. Okay, one more, G. Come on, you got to get us a person this time. Are you literally just dialing random numbers?
Yeah, okay. And I'm seriously
we might need a better approach to this. Okay, one more. I think this is going to work. I think we're going to get through to somebody here.
This one?
We're going to change some lives with this next phone call.
Sure hope so.
We need some, like, suspense music.
I don't have anything for you.
Yeah, it's
hello,
ringing.
This is da-da-da. That's how I want someone to answer.
It rang one time.
Ooh.
Hello? That's weird.
Yeah. That was definitely weird.
Okay, one more try, G. You have 4 minutes to fill. If not, we're going to yank one of the guys in from the lobby and just...
I think that's a better alternative.
Okay, one more, G. That's all right. This it hasn't lost its funny yet. It's still good. We still have a viable product here. I wonder if, like, this is how real radio goes.
They don't.
They do this sometimes. Like, for people when they win prizes
That's
and stuff.
True. Yeah. But they know their number and they know who they're calling.
Do they really?
Yeah, what do you mean?
It still didn't work. Okay, G.
I did it again.
I think it's a bust.
Hey, it's not for a lack of trying.
No,
I tried.
We really did try.
But can I say something?
It sounds like you're going to anyway.
You said that you like the tension more this way, but you never know who we're about to play for Fact and Fiction.
What do you mean?
When we had the recordings done prior, you would listen to them live with our listeners.
That's true.
So you're the one that's answering the questions. So just because Gigi and I knew, it's live to everyone else.
So you're trying to talk me out of this idea?
Well, look at her stress level.
Okay, we'll put it out to the listeners. Email in and vote if you think live Fact or Fiction is a good idea, or if you think it's not a good idea. Email in or call in and let us know. Maybe Bob from Florida will call back. And if he calls in, we'll give him a free Aftermath Radio coffee mug.
When we get him.
We don't even have yet.
Right. And a car wash.
You know that the original winner of the first Aftermath Radio Joe contest has never called to schedule her prize.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm assuming it's a her.
Well, I'm going to just throw this out there. For the end of our segment.
Oh, you're kind of wrapping it up for us then, aren't you?
Calling it a day.
All right. I think...
Take a commercial.
Go to break.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Aftermath Radio. We'll be right back after these messages here on K-Beach.
Hi, my name is Bob, and I'm a psychopath.
Hi, Bob!
Bob!
Do you know what a psychopath is? Do you have one in your life? How would you know? Join Dr. Robert Shugg Mondays at 4 p.m. for Aftermath Radio and get the facts about psychopathy.
We are back. Aftermath Radio, Dr. Robert Shugg, Assistant Professor of Criminal Justice and Forensic Psychology here at Long Beach State. Please do call us at area code 562-912-3541. That's 562-912-3541. Skype us at aftermath.radio. Email us at aftermathradio@kbeach.com. And as always, go to our website, aftermathradio.org. In the lower left-hand corner, click the radio link, and all of our podcasts are archived there for your listening enjoyment. We have on the line Dr. Leanne Leadham. Leanne, are you there?
I'm here.
Excellent. Great. Let me get the introduction out of the way then. So Leanne Leadham, a psychiatrist, graduated from the University of Southern California Keck School of Medicine. She trained in psychiatry at Harbor UCLA and Yale New Haven Hospital. Currently, she's visiting professor of counseling at the University of Bridgeport. She's on the board of directors of the Aftermath Surviving Psychopathy Foundation and is author of Just Like His Father, A Guide to Overcoming Your Child's Genetic Connection to Antisocial Behavior, Addiction, and ADHD, and Women Who Love Psychopaths. So welcome, Leanne.
Oh, thank you very much.
And so today, I actually talked about this a little bit at the beginning of the hour. This Christian Karl Gerhardt's writer, who is a German man who masqueraded as a member of the Rockefeller family.
Right.
And you wanted to talk about him today. And actually, for us here in Long Beach, it really hits home because it's almost just like in our backyard up in Alhambra. But
right.
For you, it had, I guess, some special meaning as well.
Right. Well, I mean, other than the fact that it was really... in my backyard, because I'm, as you read in the intro, I'm a native of Southern California, too,
mm-hmm.
and I was in the Pasadena area in the same years that he was. So, you know, the case is of interest to me because of that as well.
Right, right.
So I guess he's, like me, he went from Pasadena to Connecticut, actually.
Mm. So I didn't know that.
Let me just give a brief rundown of his history, because I don't know how much you gave of it.
Nothing at all, really. Just intro.
He initially came to, I believe it was Greenwich, Connecticut, as a German high school exchange student. And he was supposed to go back to Germany, but never did.
Mm.
And so he apparently went from there to Michigan, where he had a marriage of convenience and obtained his green card, and then left that relationship, and then then that was when he later ended up in California.
I see.
So he was in California for a time, and he actually was living in the guest house of the people, one of whom was John Sohost, who he's accused of murdering. And but in any case, part of the accusation of murder stems from the fact that he left Southern California after Sohost disappeared, and then ended up in Connecticut, somehow in possession of Sohost's truck.
Interesting.
And then after that, he was in a relationship with another woman, and then was living in Manhattan, where he encountered a woman by the name of Sandra Boss. And it was that woman whom he married, and it was at that time that he had assumed this identity of Clark Rockefeller. And he actually married and had a child with this woman, Sandra Boss.
And by assuming the identity, he just started proclaiming that was his name, or how did that work?
Yes. In fact, you know, that was one of the things that I was hoping we could talk about, because there's so many things that interest me about this case.
Mm-hmm.
So if I could just say, of the aspects of him that I think are most interesting, is his ability to assume these different identities. He wasn't, when he was living in California, I can't remember what he called himself in California, but it wasn't Clark Rockefeller. The Clark Rockefeller came about when he was in New York after he had returned from California.
I see. He seems like he's changed his identity several times,
right.
and that's even that we know of. So what's your sense of how he was, you want to go into talking about?
Yeah, I would like to talk about it, because I think we have a fair amount of information about him and his assumption of these identities.
Okay.
The first thing is I have a close friend who is in law enforcement and who has spent a good deal of time in his career, interacting with people who are con artists. And he says that in order to be a good con artist, the individual must literally believe he is this person. And it's my contention, and you know, maybe you could say if you disagree, Robert, but it's my contention that only someone who's very psychopathic can adopt a whole different identity and really live it and believe it and just actually become someone else.
Yeah, I think I'd have to agree with you. It's not something that you could just, I don't know what the word is, just sort of superficially or in passing. I mean, to really get away with it and over an extended period of time, you would have to live it. You would have to believe it in your soul.
Right.
Yeah.
And now it seems as though there are certain aspects of his identity that doesn't change, that do not change from one persona to the next and the next. For instance, in every personification, he's something grand.
Interesting. So he's not...
every personification, he's intelligent and gifted and wonderful.
Well, that might say something, because he's not assuming the identity of just the common everyday guy who's working at the store down the street, right? Which you would think if you were trying to get away with a crime like homicide, that would be the guys whose identity you would want to take. This guy is sort of taking, like you said, these very grandiose, intelligent, sounds like well-respected, maybe, individuals.
Yes. And in the Clark Rockefeller identity, he's an expert on everything cultured, from the theater to wine to fine art to everything. He's an expert in everything.
Right. Really, I guess speaking to sort of that glib, superficial charm that we often
right.
talk about, where psychopaths will come across as very learned and educated and conversant in many different topics, usually sort of poetry and art and intellectual endeavors.
Right. Now, also, with respect to this assumption of different identities, this fellow was evaluated psychiatrically by a psychiatrist by the name of Keith Abloh when he went on trial for the kidnap of his daughter. Mm. And he was also evaluated by a Harvard psychiatrist, and I think the name was Lee. I know he was, it was an Asian name, and I'm sorry if I'm getting it wrong. But both of them evaluated him, and of course, in our adversarial judicial system, you never get the truth with these evaluations. And Abloh was evaluating for the defense, and he said that this individual was actually delusional, that he actually believed himself to be Clark Rockefeller. But that was self-serving because they were trying to get him out of this charge of parental kidnapping.
And so they were looking more towards like an insanity defense than it sounds like? Because with a delusional type disorder, that's probably more recognized as a mental illness that might cause you to not know what you're doing or know right from wrong, versus psychopathy, which might not go over so well, I would imagine.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, neither of the evaluators even entertained the prospect of psychopathy, although the prosecution evaluator did diagnose him with antisocial personality disorder.
Interesting.
But I think I was interested in the idea that he might be portrayed as delusional, because I think that, you know, these abnormal beliefs and, you know, assumption of another identity is kind of a form of abnormal belief. They're on a continuum. And I think that this individual and other stories that I've heard, it's as if the con artist actually does at times believe they are the part. And so it does strike me that their grip on reality isn't that strong. And also, especially in the fact that they don't seem to have an appreciation for the fact that other people's identity is not contrived the way theirs is. That they don't think that there's anything, say, aberrant about going around contriving all these different aspects of yourself.
There does seem to be a bit of disconnect from reality there. Yeah, and yeah. I to me, it just astonishes me that this. I mean, if you're gonna pick an identity that's sort of grandiose and well respected, I understand that. But something like a member of the Rockefeller family, something that's so easily checked and verified, you know, that it just seems like, how could you expect to get away with that?
Right. And isn't that one of the hallmarks of psychopaths?
Exactly.
Psychopathic individuals, they're lying. They do it even when they can be detected.
Right.
And that's another feature of this individual, is that his pathologic lies are, you just click on his name on the internet and you can read about all of them. They're very egregious and they're all verifiable. But they were also, he tells them in a very convincing manner.
Right.
And so a lot of people were conned. A lot of people believed his pathological lies.
Now, there's probably no reason to suspect that his lying started with the homicide in San Marino, right? I'm imagining, is there any evidence going further back that this man was a liar and a manipulator that you know of?
I do not believe that the family who hosted him in Greenwich when he was a high school student reported this kind of thing, although they did say that he had a sense of entitlement the size of Wyoming.
Interesting.
And that's my term, not theirs.
Right.
But I also think then we can think about his life and how it maybe does show a typical pattern of a Cleckley kind of psychopathic individual, that it really manifests itself when the person comes of age and becomes a young adult.
Mm.
That they might have behavior problems when they're younger, but the full-blown con artistry and whatnot, the pathological lying and the sophisticated manipulation is a craft that they hone in their early 20s.
Interesting.
That seems to be true for him.
And let's see. Well, we got a couple minutes before the break, I guess. Anything more that you wanted to say about his kind of double identities or his conning manipulation? Or did you want to move on from there?
Just to say that I think that this is an area of psychopathy that deserves further research, and that is issue of identity. And I think it's a hallmark of people that are more severely affected with the disorder. I mean, there are a lot of people who have psychopathic features and yet don't have issues with their identity.
Right.
In this same way. And it just seems to, I don't know, almost be a different form of the disorder that goes along with con artistry. And I also want to say that that the listeners, if they want to read more about this, there's a fabulous book that was written by William and Mary Healy called Pathological Lying and Swindling. It was written in, I think, 1903, and it's available as a free ebook on the internet. If you just Google William and Mary Healy Pathological Lying ebook, you'll find it. And it's just fascinating. Even back in 1903, individuals like this, quote, Clark Rockefeller, unquote, were behaving in the exact same way as we see him behaving.
That's fascinating. I'm going to check that one out myself. Can you hang on for another segment, Leanne?
Sure.
Okay, great. Aftermath Radio, we'll be right back here on KBeach.
Hi, my name is Bob, and I'm a psychopath.
Hi, Bob!
Bob!
Do you know what a psychopath is? Do you have one in your life? How would you know? Join Dr. Robert Shug Mondays at 4 p.m. for Aftermath Radio and get the facts about psychopathy.
We're back, Aftermath Radio. Please call us, area code 562-912-3541. That's 562-912-3541. Skype us at aftermath.radio. Email us, aftermathradio@kbeach.com. And tweet us. How do they tweet us, G?
Log on to Twitter, and you can follow us. It's Aftermath Radio, one word.
And you can like us on Facebook, right?
Yes.
And liking is good?
Yes.
Yeah? Okay. All right, we have on the phone.
My mic wasn't on, just realized that.
Right now? So yeah. All that information you gave wasn't there? Okay, we'll give
tweet
it at the end
us
of the show.
At Aftermath Radio, it's all one word, and like our Facebook page.
Thank you.
That is all.
Okay. We have Dr. Leanne Leadham, psychiatrist and visiting professor of counseling at the University of Bridgeport on the line. You're still there, Leanne, right?
I'm here.
Good. Talking about Christian Gerhardsreiter, murderer and con artist. Well, we don't know he's a murderer yet. Alleged murderer, certainly a con artist. Impersonated or assumed the identity of one of the Rockefeller families. One of the members of the Rockefeller family, that is. And Leanne is talking about symptoms of psychopathy and how they are sort of manifest in this case. So, Leanne, we've talked about the conning and manipulation, maybe superficial charm. What else do you think in this guy speaks to psychopathy or at least psychopathic traits?
Well, I got interested in this case because of the circumstances of him having a child, you know, that essentially arose out of his con. So I'd like to leave room at the end to go back to that one.
Okay.
And so I started following it for that reason. And then when I started listening to what people were saying about the case, I even became more interested in it because this fellow claims to be able to love.
Hmm.
And again, the listeners, if they're interested in this, can go to YouTube and search for FBI Clark Rockefeller interview, and they can listen to this man talk about how he loves the various people in his life. And that subject is something that I'm actively researching, and that is the claims of love by psychopathic individuals. Now, I have to say that he managed to convince quite a few people that he was capable of love, namely Keith Ablo, his psychiatric team that was working for his defense attorney, and also the judge in his parental kidnapping case credited him with the ability to love his daughter.
What did they base that on, Leanne? How did they come to that conclusion? Just what the psychiatrist said, or...?
they based that primarily on his proclamations that he loved her.
Wow.
And also the fact that he did at times provide care to her. So, in fact, the judge said that, and also, in his parental kidnapping trial, there was some neighbor who testified as to his supposed fathering ability.
Mm.
And he said in the FBI interview, it's really interesting, he says to the FBI agents, "I don't want to cause any trouble. I just want to be a father. I want to wake up next to her in the morning. I want to feed her breakfast. I want to put her on the bus. I want to wait for her when she gets off the bus, and I want to take care of her." And that was his idea about being a father. But when the FBI agent asked him, "Well, what about her mother? Wouldn't she miss her mother if you took her away?" And then the response was, "Well, we never discussed her mother." That was the response.
Mm.
Now, also, later on in the interview, the FBI agents asked him if he loved Sandra Boss, who was his wife and the mother of the child. And he said, "Oh, yes, I simply love her to death." And yet there wasn't any appreciation for the disconnect between these assertions of love and the other actions of the individual.
Did the psychiatrist for the prosecution pick up on that disconnect?
No.
Oh.
No. In fact, I was really interested in this, and I wrote him a letter. It was nice. He wrote me back.
Oh.
He thanked me for the information that I sent him. But I don't think that they went that deep into it. He just considered this, and this is a whole other aspect of the case. There's just so many aspects of this case. He just considered this, well, antisocial personality disorder. He didn't think about the depth of psychopathy and the narcissism and everything else that is involved in this individual. But can I give you sort of my take on psychopaths or psychopathic individuals and love?
Absolutely. If you want to save yourself some time for talking about the child, though.
Oh, okay, then I got to hurry.
Well, yeah, I mean, maybe so if you can do this in a couple minutes, good.
That just like in the moment when he says, "I'm Clark Rockefeller," he believes he's Clark Rockefeller. I think in the moment when he proclaims he loves someone, he really does. That they have some sort of fleeting feeling of something. That they label love, and I think they're very convinced that they do feel this emotion, and I think that's why they're able to convince others. Because I don't think all the people, and I have to include myself in this, that have had a psychopathic individual say "I love you" and believed it. We're not all just conned. I think there's a certain truth to what they say when they love you, but definitely when they say "I love you," they don't mean the same thing as everyone else does.
Right, and I actually, just to kind of piggyback on that briefly, I know some of my colleagues are working on how psychopaths, there's a mismatch between their perception of their bodily sensations and what actually is going on, so that maybe ties in with that. They're feeling something in the moment, but maybe they're not able to label it correctly or label it at all, but they just assume it's love because that maybe it's situationally appropriate.
Right.
Right. Okay. Did you want to speak for a couple minutes on the aspect of the child?
Yeah, and Sandra Boss. Well, first of all, Sandra Boss, who was the first wife, was a Harvard MBA, or is a Harvard MBA graduate, and worked for a very prestigious some sort of financial firm, which had international offices. She had a very high-level position, and she had a very high salary and still has.
Hmm.
And so for all the victims out there who are beating themselves up and saying, "Wow, I shouldn't have been conned. Boy, was I so stupid," I think we can look to people like her who were conned also.
Right.
and realize that these con artists are really good, and they con a lot of very smart people. In fact, these two people were married for a total of 9 years, and I believe it took about 8 years for her to realize that he wasn't who he said he was.
That's incredible. I mean, as your married partner, still not being able to tell.
Right.
Right.
And then I think the other question that this brings up for this situation is that if a person consents to marriage and sexual relations with someone under a false pretense that's this egregious, like the person that you think you're with doesn't even exist, that isn't even, you know, is not even remotely who they say they are, is that a form of rape?
Interesting.
I think it is. And I think that the family courts should consider this that kind of a situation. And I don't think that an individual like this should have had any parental rights whatsoever, given the level of severity of the deception involved to the other parent.
Right.
This isn't like, you know, I had an out of wedlock when I was 17 and covered that up kind of thing. This was an assumption of a completely different identity and not even being remotely resembling who you said you were. In fact, you know, she thought he was an American citizen. He wasn't even an American citizen.
Yeah, it's big, that's for sure. Okay, Leanne, about a minute left. Were there any sort of big take-home lessons or lessons for our listeners regarding this case?
Yes. The biggest take-home lesson is this. If you've been conned by a con artist, think of this man and realize that Sandra Boss, when she filed for divorce several years ago, did not know who he was. She certainly didn't know that he was an accused murderer. And so when you see a psychopathic individual, you don't know if you're seeing the tip of the iceberg or you're seeing the entire iceberg. And so I think you have to assume that they're all potentially very dangerous.
That's great advice. And it sounds like there's a lot more we can spend talking about this particular topic too. Maybe
sure, we'll have to see what happens as the trial unfolds. Maybe more evidence will come out and we can talk about it.
That'd be great. We want to thank you so much for coming on with us tonight, Leanne.
Yeah, did I hear you say something about 2 weeks from now?
2 weeks from now, actually, yeah. Well, that was during the break, Leanne was listening. Bob Hare just confirmed that he'd be on the show 2 weeks from now.
Wow, that's exciting.
Right. So I was actually going to make that announcement, but I'm glad you helped me make it. So thanks again, Leanne, and we will speak with you soon.
Thank you.
All right. Good night.
Bye.
There you go. So let's see. Looking ahead. Next week, I'm really excited. We have Dr. Jill Rickey coming on, clinical psychologist from Florida, talking about when the psychopath leaves you, how to recover your sanity. It should be really good. Whenever Jill's on, she gets a lot of really good responses. And as I said, in 2 weeks, we're going to have Dr. Robert Hare on, who just confirmed by email during the show. So that should be great. Until then, please stay in touch with us. You can leave voicemails at 562-912-3541. That's 562-912-3541. Skype us at aftermath.radio. You can always email us. Keep the emails coming, aftermathradio@kbeach.com. And the podcast are up at aftermathradio.org. Actually, I'm lying. They're not up, but I'll get them up this weekend. I'm kind of slacky. Till then, stay away from psychopaths. How about that?
That's a great way to end it.
Aftermath Radio here on K-Beach.
You've been listening to Aftermath Radio, production of the K-Beach radio station at California State University, Long Beach. Produced in association with AftermathSurvivingPsychopathy.org. Your host has been Dr. Robert Shug. Your producers have been Brian Frederick, Chantel Fahmy, and Gurjeet Brar. Join us next Monday at 4 p.m. for another exciting episode. If you or someone you know has been victimized and you'd like to talk to someone, call the Cal State Long Beach Counseling and Psychological Services number at 562-985-4001.